Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
And it goes to show that with these hate speech laws, which are so vaguely worded, so subjective, they can really be manipulated and used and arbitrarily enforced if you get someone in power who wants to make a point.
So many times you hear marriage today, people say, I didn't marry the perfect one. I missed the perfect one. I got stuck with someone who's not perfect. And so I need to leave this one and go find someone better. That's a selfish notion, a concept of the world that the devil loves to feed.
I'm, quote, just a mom, or I'm, quote, just a dad, or I'm just a good neighbor. I'm just a member of my congregation. I never did anything great. So this myth of the one great thing can lead to both neglect and regret.
What Jesus does, he sees the wrath of God coming, and he leans over so all the wrath of God goes on him rather than on us.
Twins in Virginia love listening to Issues Etc.
We knew this would happen eventually, that whether through the courts or through regulatory agencies, the transgender agenda would push for coverage of all of their transition procedures, be it surgery or hormone treatment. Some of it, the surgery itself, is purely cosmetic. No one becomes a woman from being a man or vice versa. But we knew that it would eventually happen, that they would say these are medically necessary. And sadly, there are some in the medical community who continue to agree with that. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 1st of February. We're going to be talking with Roger Severino of the Ethics and Public Policy Center about the Biden administration's push for insurers to cover transgender surgery. We'll discuss censorship and banning books. Is parental involvement in a kid's education the same thing as banning books? Mark Hemingway of Real Clear Investigations will be our guest. Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus entering Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 21. And Dr. Todd Peppercorn of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, will join us to talk about 16th century reformer Martin Luther, C.F.W. Walther, and depression. Joining us to discuss the Biden administration's push for insurers to cover transgender surgery, Roger Severino. He's senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, formerly served as director of the Office for Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and he's a graduate of Harvard Law School. Roger, welcome back.
Hey, Todd.
What does the Biden administration want insurance companies to do about transgender transition procedures?
Well, they want you and me and everybody else to pay for them. They have just issued a notice of proposed rulemaking, which is yet another mandate to make sure that insurers cover a whole panoply of transgender surgeries and procedures and drugs, including with minors. It's ostensibly going to be called an essential health benefit. All the things and all the treatments that are now currently important in the middle of a COVID surge, this administration is focused on these hot button cultural issues and wants everybody to help pay for other people's transgender surgeries. I don't think this is good medicine. It's certainly violating norms. There's not sufficient support as to this being the actual standard of care, and there's certainly not a basis to call it an essential health benefit. But that's what they're doing. In the middle of a pandemic, Secretary Becerra, who's the Secretary of Health and Human Services, he was appointed not to handle COVID, but to push abortion and LGBT issues, and he's fulfilled that promise.
You mentioned violating norms. Has the Biden administration, in issuing this notice of proposed rulemaking, has it followed the normal protocols in pushing this coverage?
Absolutely not. I was a regulator when I was head of the Civil Rights Office, and we followed the rules. When we had major rules like this impacting large swaths of the insurance market and thousands upon thousands of people and their premiums, we would give 60 days for the public to issue their comments. That's how rulemaking is done nowadays. We are governed by rules, like it or not. That's actually what is controlling most of American life when we're talking about the government. It's federal agencies promulgating rules. Part of the process requires the public to have input, and they give their comments on those who are going to govern us. We gave 60 days for this rule. They gave us 22 days, 22 days. I'd never heard of such a thing. It's offensive because it's really just a sham. This is making a mockery of the public input process. 22 days on a major rule that covers not just transgender surgeries, a whole wealth of other issues, and no justification, as if this is some sort of emergency. And it's certainly not. But the game is they're trying to give such a short time period that they hope nobody notices, that the public doesn't have their comments and input. Because if the public doesn't input, then they hope to get away with it. And the importance of public comments is that if we raise the issues, we point out the deficiencies, we say the emperor has no clothes, that this is in fact a bad rule based on shoddy understandings of medicine, they have to try to come up with a response and say it publicly. But if they do it with such a short time period, 22 days, then they're depriving the public of the ability to participate, to raise objections, and they're trying to slip one past the goalie.
What do we know about individual states already moving to cover transition procedures?
Well, it started with Colorado. They were the first one in conjunction with HHS to declare transgender treatments and surgery to be some sort of an essential health benefit. So that was the nose under the camel's tent. And with this rule, the entire camel is in, just running roughshod, because they dipped their toes in the water with Colorado. And the one good thing about that is now we know the type of surgeries that are going to be covered, because normally HHS doesn't want to actually say what would be covered by this. But you see with Colorado, what they do, it covers all sorts of what are normally considered cosmetic surgeries, facial reconstruction, feminization surgeries, which cost up to $100,000 to make a male face look female. You have eyelid tucks, a shaving of tracheas, voice training might even be onto this, and not to mention the ones that remove healthy reproductive organs, hysterectomies and others, and also chest surgeries where you remove breasts. It just goes on and on and on. These are the procedures that Colorado is covering already as quote unquote essential. And what this rule is going to do is make it universal for insurers, especially small group insurance, those on the individual market, and potentially large group insurers as well. That would cover pretty much the whole gamut. So this is a political move. This is not based on some demand. And the worst part about it is they're using a cover of non-discrimination to impose a medical standard of care. I worked in the Office of Civil Rights. This isn't about denying people any services because of their stated identities. If somebody comes into an emergency room with a broken ankle, doctors don't say, hey, I need to know about your sexual orientation or your gender identity or religion. They don't do that. They treat people who come as they are. This is different. This is about particular procedures that go against the evidence we have, especially with children and the harms that result to kids, and trying to impose that using a non-discrimination justification. It just does not fit. And hopefully, if they go and go through with the rule as we expect they will, ignoring the public comments, then we're going to have to rely on the courts to help fix the damage.
Speaking of those exclusions, especially for children, does the Biden proposal offer any specific exclusions for children?
No. And if you look at Colorado in their announcement, they specifically said that treatments for minors would be covered. And that's extraordinarily controversial. We've had children as young as 13 in America have their breasts removed as part of these experimental treatments. And that it's just causing incalculable harm to kids that young who are often being pushed based on social pressures and not being given any other option to see if they could come to terms with the body that they were born in, the body God gave them, right? That's an issue that's delicate and controversial, and we don't want to be forcing this as a new standard of care and saying that there's no problem putting minors through this, because once they go on this with puberty blockers and with cross-sex hormones, it is highly unlikely for them to turn back. When what we see between over 66 to 98% of kids who are just left alone, no medical interventions, questions of gender dysphoria resolve on their own. But if you put a kid on hormones, on puberty blockers, the feelings of hating their own body get magnified, and then they're pushed on this treadmill to go and do the next thing and do surgery, and it is lifelong changes that cannot be reversed. We're putting kids in a position, we're making them decide whether or not they will ever have kids of their own. You can't put a 13-year-old to that choice, a 14-year-old, a 15 or 16-year-old. You can't put them to that choice and say, well, we think that this is best for you. No, it is not. It is inappropriate. The medicine does not bear it out as being effective in dealing with underlying mental health issues, and that's what should be treated. Everybody should be treated with absolute compassion and respect. Let's do what's best for the kids and certainly not have other people being forced to pay for things that actually cause harm.
Will those who later regret a childhood transition have legal recourse?
I think they will. I think because if you think about it, all the prescriptions for the puberty blockers and the cross-sex hormones are off-label usage. That means the FDA never approved those drugs for what those doctors are doing with them. And they're proceeding at their own risk. And we saw the case of Kira Bell in the UK, which got a lot of attention because she came to regret her transition and said that the adults that were pushing her to do this should have realized she was just a kid. She was just a kid. And the adults were blinded by ideology. And we see this in medicine now. And those chickens are going to come home to roost someday because so many kids being put on this are being sold a bill of goods. And years from now, when they say, who's responsible for what was done to me? I could never have children again. I could never have my body be what it looked like had I been left without these surgeries and treatments. You should read Abigail Schreier's book on irreversible damage, which speaks to many of these things, and Ryan Anderson's book, When Harry Became Sally. These sorts of issues are not new, and there is many folks who come to regret their transition, but they are in a very tough spot because so much of their identity has now been wrapped in to a new identity, and it's just so hard to go back. And we still have just extraordinarily high rates of suicide among people who identify as transgender, and we need to identify the root cause of that as opposed to saying the cure is we're just going to change your body. And we found out that that actually doesn't turn out to be the cure that these activists say it is.
Roger Severino is our guest, senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. We're talking about the Biden administration's push for insurers to cover transgender surgery. On the other side, how will the Health and Human Services incorporate religious objections or exceptions? Issues Etc. surpassed more than 6.4 million downloads during 2021. You can help us reach more listeners this year. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Old theology, new technology. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming 3-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Oh, morning star, oh, morning star, shine with our bright across.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at lutheranpublicradio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Take arms, King Jesus.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking with Roger Severino of the Ethics and Public Policy Center about the Biden administration's push for insurers to cover transgender surgery. Roger, how will Health and Human Services incorporate, if at all, religious objections and exceptions?
Well, given their track record, they won't. They've been the most hostile administration to religious freedom that we've ever seen. And it's sad what they've done with the Conscience and Religious Freedom Division at HHS, which is charged with making sure our conscience laws are enforced. At that agency, they've stripped it of as many authorities as they could and shut down many of their functions. So I'm not optimistic at all that they will do anything to respect the conscience rights of doctors to not want to perform these surgeries. For any religious-based employers who don't want to cover it, we went through this with the Little Sisters of the Poor, who were required to provide and assist with contraceptive coverage in insurance. And that was a years-long fight that went to the Supreme Court before they got vindication and protection from the courts and from the Trump administration. We moved to protect the Little Sisters. They revoked and are moving to revoke the protections that the Little Sisters and other groups, those types of protections that they've been given. So I have no confidence whatsoever that they will recognize that there are employers that don't want to cover these surgeries based on religious beliefs, especially not in minors. There are employees that don't want to cover it. And think about this. Under Obamacare, children have a right to stay under their parents' plan until they're 25 years old. So you'll have a circumstance where parents will be paying for insurance for children to do these transition surgeries when they're out of the house after they're 18. Many parents will have religious objections to be paying for the removal of healthy reproductive organs in their children, right? But under these rules, they would be stuck. And I'm not confident that they would, in the slightest, respect the religious freedom of parents in that situation.
You mentioned earlier that these transition surgeries are purely cosmetic. Is there a limiting principle in the Biden administration's thinking here to keep the insurance companies on the line for every and any cosmetic surgery?
The ideology behind this is that of all the conditions in the DSM-5, that's the statistical manual for mental disorders, it's called the DSM-5, gender dysphoria, which changed its name, it used to be called gender identity disorder, they've changed it to gender dysphoria, it's the only one where the indicated treatment to a body dysmorphia, which is where you have discomfort with your body. This is the only one where they say, instead of treating the disconnect between what you think your body is versus what you think it should be, what it is versus what you think it should be, you treat that disconnect psychologically. Here, they're treating it physically, right? You don't do this with anorexia. You don't recommend tummy tucks for someone with anorexia or liposuction or bulimia. Somebody who has all sorts of body dysmorphias and stress, you don't say, well, if you don't like that body part, the solution is to remove it if it's healthy and non-disease. But with gender dysphoria, it's the only one where they take this approach. So generally, insurers have historically not covered it because they've considered it cosmetic surgery, right? There are many things cosmetically that will make people feel better psychologically. I mean, there are many people who are discomfort with their appearance and it causes them daily stress. It doesn't mean that insurance companies and everybody else who pays into the pool has to pay for it, even though it could alleviate somebody's mental distress. And here it's more than that because it could actually cause a different sort of harm. Instead of just enhancements, it would be removal, right? Hysterectomies are removal of perfectly functioning, healthy reproductive organs. Right. And a lot of folks think that just is going to cause more harm than good, and it should not qualify as an essential health benefit. And there's all sorts of controversy over what are the long-term effects in terms of whether or not it actually resolves any of the underlying distress conditions. Part of the problem is if a person says, you know what, I don't look feminine enough, I need another facial reconstruction and yet another, there is no limiting principle, right? If the point is this is essential until the person feels more comfortable in their own skin, then what is the limiting principle? Why is only one chin reconstruction enough? How about a chin and a breast augmentation? How about a thigh reduction? How about implants here, implants there? There's there's no way to judge. So long as some psychologist says, I think my patient will feel better based on gender dysphoria if they do these 15 surgeries, I don't see a basis for an insurer to say no under this rule.
And is there evidence that transition procedures improve the mental and emotional health of those who've undergone these transitions?
This is all experimental. And the some studies that say they do are full of all sorts of methodological problems. There's all sorts of bias as well in WPATH, which was one of the organizations, an activist organization that is trying to set the standard of care. And they are now backing off. They've realized that, especially with children, they're not in a position to be able to consent to these life-altering surgeries. So they're now even acknowledging that, yeah, you know what, maybe we went too far in pushing these sorts of things. Yeah, you went too far. And now some of these children's lives are ruined. So whatever story you have of some people who say they're very happy with their surgeries, look at the numbers overall with people who identify as transgender. They still have very high levels of other comorbidities, other issues of anxiety and depression, suicidal ideation, all sorts of things. This is not proven to be some sort of cure-all, and you're not seeing a long-term improvement in those results. And that's why Dr. Paul McHugh stopped performing these surgeries at Johns Hopkins, because he looked at the data and said, you know what? We're removing healthy tissue. We're doing all these interventions, and people aren't getting better. It's not providing the cure that they had hoped, because he had performed these things that they had hoped would happen. And so the data is now bearing that out. And you have to weigh, for every one person who says they feel better, how many people's lives have been destroyed by not being able to reverse what they've done. And here's another thing. Rapid onset gender dysphoria. This is a new thing where you have mainly clusters of young girls all of a sudden in the same social circles saying, you know what, I identify now as a boy. When it's a confusing enough time when you're an adolescent in America today, but to say that and having parents and having doctors say, you know what, maybe you are a boy to young girls, when if you look statistically, the odds that you have, you know, five or six girls of the same age in the same school, all having the same gender dysphoria, that doesn't strike me as very likely. Yet the activists want to say, you know what, doesn't matter. They're entitled as a central health benefit to get these transgender treatments.
Finally, how are transgender activists using the courts to advance their agenda?
Well, every turn, they had a big advancement in their cause with the Bostock decision that Justice Gorsuch, I think, will regret that he, you know, went the way he did, because now he has to do a whole lot of damage control. That decision said in employment, you can't fire somebody or take a hiring decision based on transgender status. Now, importantly, it was limited to employment and it was limited to transgender status, whereas the Biden administration and Secretary Becerra go with a full gender ideology spectrum, which could be male, female, neither, both, some combination of male or female, androgynous, asexual, and everything in between. It keeps multiplying. So there's no limit to the type of gender identities that one can have and what surgeries that would follow from that. But Gorsuch, at the very least, said, look, there's all these issues of religious freedom, other contexts, and those questions are to be left for another day. But the left that's pushing for this is using the courts as much as possible to require Medicaid to cover these surgeries and treatments. And it depends on whether or not you get a judge that believes in the rule of law or not as to what the outcome is going to be. But I think the Supreme Court decision, you'll see probably in future Supreme Court cases, realizing that they open up a can of worms, they're going to start pulling back, is my prediction.
Roger Severino is senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. He formerly served as director of the Office for Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and he's a graduate of Harvard Law School. Find more information on the Ethics and Public Policy Center. You can visit the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Roger, thank you.
Thank you.
Mark Hemingway of Real Clear Investigation joins us on the other side of the break to talk about parental input into education, censorship, and banning books. Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Alvin Schmidt is the author of our book of the month for February, Faith Misused: Why Christianity is Not Just Another Religion. This new book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Faith Misused at issuesetc.org. Find out how faith is an exclusively Christian word and how Christians can reclaim it in Faith Misused, the Issues Etc. book of the month for February.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's Fables and classic children's literature, math, and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.